Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier, the saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire, and the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of Fort Laramie and Gunsmoke. It's 2021. I am delighted to bring these two episodes. The first one is Fort Laramie with Raymond Burr. And Raymond Burr and John Daynor do such a nice job in this episode. And the writing by John Dunkel is fantastic. I just love this episode. The relationship between the two leads is just really well done. And it's simply funny because it simply by him having Quince call John Daynor's character Robbie and just refer to them in that, him in that informal way just makes it seem like there's a deep history and relationship between these two men. And like I say, it's a very touching episode. John Daynor does a really nice job. Also, our Gunsmoke episode, we just ran out of high-quality episodes, so I just picked up some more. This episode's really nice, and I could use some donations if folks are willing to help out, because I just spent a ton of money on a bunch of upgrades of episodes, and I have upgrades all over the place. I've got to upgrade, of course, the Gunsmokes I mentioned. I bought plenty of Gunsmokes to last us for quite a while of high-quality episodes, and we've upgraded just stuff on all of our platforms, really. We have got some upgrades of the Father Knows Best over there on the Judy Garland platform, and I have some great Sounding Whistlers, some great suspense episodes that I picked up, and but it's not cheap to do all that, so anything to can donate to help would be wonderful. You can just send any donations to buckbennyotr@gmail.com through PayPal, and that'll get to me. You can go to my sites and donate that way. If you want to just email me, I can give you information about where to send money. It's just I can't afford to do these expenditures without getting some folks helping me cover the cost. And since you'll get a chance to enjoy all these upgrades, we have some X-1 upgrades in this set. Oh, and a big piece of the upgrade was with our Johnny Dollars. And so people were just loving the Johnny Dollars, and so I figured I would go out there and get a bunch of the half-hour episodes in really high quality, and so I did. So anyway, without further ado, here is Gunsmoke and Fort Laramie. Enjoy them both.
At the gallop! Oh!
Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier, the saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire, and the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Sergeant Gorse, dismiss the patrol.
Yes, sir.
prepare to dismount. Dismount.
Welcome back, Captain.
Thank you, Sergeant Jenkins. Major Daggett in?
He's been expecting you.
Come in.
Oh, Lee. Glad you're back.
That makes both of us, Major.
Are you finding anything?
No trouble. Some of the dog soldiers are restless. But so far, no Sioux have left treaty territory.
Oh, that's good.
Yep. Except I've had a 10-day ride for nothing.
Well, it's no matter. We have to investigate every report. You know that.
I know.
Well, like I said, I'm glad you're back. But I'm not sure you'll be.
Why?
You're in time to welcome an old friend of yours.
Huh? Who?
His orders read Lieutenant R.C. Wendt.
Robbie?
That's right. Major Wendt.
He assigned here?
He's on the post already. Arrived an hour ago. He'll be reporting any minute. Want to stay and see him?
You want me to?
It's up to you. You'll have to face him sooner or later anyway, I suppose.
Major, he's an old friend. Nothing can change that.
You still feel that way?
Yep. Where will he be assigned?
C Company is short an officer. I thought...
Can I have him? You can transfer Hancock to C.
Why?
Maybe I can ease things a little.
What about yourself? You think he'll like serving under you, an officer who once served under him?
He'll do all right. He's a good officer.
Well, I can't say much for him now. 5 posts in 2 years, and he couldn't face it out at any of them. Now we're stuck with him. A drunkard, a troublemaker, and a coward. Coward of Antelope Meadows.
I'm not sure he deserves that reputation.
Court of inquiry that demoted him thought so.
They demoted him for poor judgment, not cowardice.
What would you call a man who ran away from a fight, left his commander and 200 men to be wiped out?
He was under attack himself.
He could have fought through to Bartlett and saved them.
Maybe and maybe not. He might only have added 100 more men to the list of dead. Instead, he tried to save his own command and he succeeded. It was a difficult decision, but not necessarily bad judgment.
The Court of Inquiry said so.
The Court of Inquiry was in Washington. They went by the book. You know how different it can be out here, how hard a decision can be when you're under attack. Hindsight's always easy.
Why are we arguing?
Assign him to me.
All right. Be a good Samaritan if you have to. There he is. Come in.
Lieutenant Wendt reporting to Major Daggett as directed.
Yes, been expecting you, Wendt. I believe you know Captain Quince.
Hello, Robbie.
Captain.
It's been a long time since Virginia.
Yes. Sorry I didn't see you. I've developed a habit of speaking when I'm spoken to.
You're looking well.
Major, have you figured out a place for me?
I didn't try to figure a place for you, Wendt. You're just another officer here. You'll be put where you're needed. I've assigned you to B Company. That's Captain Quince here.
Very well.
You can report to the officer of the day at your convenience. You'll be placed on active duty as of 5 a.m. tomorrow. You'll take morning call.
Yes, sir.
We hope you'll have a pleasant tour, Laramie.
Do you, Major?
Wendt, I said you're just another officer here. That's the way you'll be treated. But I expect a cooperative attitude from you, like any other officer. A chip on that shoulder won't help.
Very good, Major. Am I dismissed?
Yes.
I'll come along, if I may, Robbie, show you the place.
All right, Captain.
Oh, Lee.
Yes, sir?
One moment, huh?
I'll be right with you, Robbie.
All right.
You see what I mean? Liquored up, middle of the day. He's going to be trouble.
He's gone through a lot, Major.
Sometimes I think you're a soft fool. I'm warning you, Lee, don't try to fight his battles for him. Keep a tight hold on him.
Don't worry. I'll take you over by the quarters, Robbie. They're a little better than the ones we had in Virginia. You might like Laramie. It's a good post.
I've noticed a lot of women. More than I expected out here.
A lot of the men are married. It's safe enough here. Good to see you, Robbie.
It is.
We had some good days in Virginia.
I was your commanding officer then.
You were a good one.
Now,
Robbie, there are plenty of gray-haired lieutenants in this army for one reason or another, but not many of them cry in their beer.
Thank you, Captain, for reminding me.
Oh, you've got to give people a chance.
What about them giving me a chance?
Well, you got to meet them halfway, Robbie.
Halfway.
Good morning, Captain Quince.
Oh, hello, Ms. St. Cloud. May I present Lieutenant Wendt?
We don't need an introduction, Captain. Hello, Robbie.
Mrs. St. Cloud.
It's good to see you.
Thank you.
I saw you earlier crossing the parade ground. What brings you to Laramie?
I'm to be stationed here.
I'm very glad.
Are you?
Of course. Captain, Robbie and I are old friends. You must come and visit me the first chance you get, Robbie.
Thank you.
Oh, here's Philip. You never met my husband, did you? Philip, this is Robbie Wendt.
Lieutenant St. Cloud.
How do you do?
He's to be stationed here.
That's too bad.
Philip.
You remember Lieutenant Yeager, don't you, Wendt? He was my best friend, my roommate at the point. I'm sure you must remember him because he died with Bartlett that day at Antelope Meadows.
Philip, don't.
Come along, Maud.
But, Philip.
What were you saying about a chance, Captain?
I'm sorry, Robbie. There's bound to be some feeling at first, but in time...
You're an optimist, Captain. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll stop by the sutlers. They can still sell liquor on this post, can't they?
You think that'll help?
It's the only help I need, Captain. Good day.
First platoon, all prisoners accounted for. Second platoon, all prisoners accounted for.
All prisoners accounted for, sir.
Yeah. Now, where are the orders?
In your pockets. Lieutenant, is anything wrong?
What do you mean, Sergeant?
I mean, are you all right? Are you feeling all right?
Of course I am. Now, where is it?
Here, sir. Shall I read them?
You?
Captain Quince sometimes has me read them, sir. I just thought...
You stop thinking, Sergeant.
Lieutenant...
I'm perfectly capable...
Morning, Lieutenant Wendt. Sergeant Gorse.
Sir...
What are you doing here, Quince? Don't you think I can take morning call by myself?
Of course, Lieutenant.
I'm perfectly all right. Absolutely all right.
I'm not so sure. I think you'd better go back to your quarters. I'll relieve you here.
Is that an order, Captain?
That's a suggestion.
All right.
Straighten up, man. You're in front of 100 enlisted men.
I'll be all right.
I'll go with you.
I can...
It's a long walk across the parade ground. The men are watching. Just keep your shoulder into mine. Sergeant, you'll read the orders of the day.
Yes, sir.
Come on, Robbie. Here, keep this cold compress in your head.
Thanks.
Robbie, this is no good. You can't keep this up.
What?
Running away, hiding in a bottle.
You gonna report me?
Did you report me that time in Virginia? But it can't happen too often, you understand that.
I know.
Well?
Lee. Thanks. You're the only one in 2 years that's been decent. I'm sorry if I can't come halfway.
Maybe if you try to face it and not run away. Other men have been busted.
Oh, it's not that. No. Do you know what my second-in-command said after Antelope Meadows? He said, we should all be dead. And we would have been if we hadn't been led by a coward.
You weren't a coward in Virginia, and when that court of inquiry demoted you, you didn't have to stay in the army. You could have resigned.
Yes.
It took guts to stay. That wasn't the act of a coward.
I love the army. It's my life. And I was mad. I thought I was right. I had the guts then.
Then what's happened?
Do you know what it's like to be sneered at? Hated wherever you go? To be blamed for other men's deaths? Like that St. Cloud yesterday. I've had 2 years of that, Lee.
Maybe now I am a coward.
Not unless you're willing to be. If you... Come in. Oh, Miss St. Cloud.
Robbie, I heard you were ill.
Word gets around, doesn't it?
Are you all right?
All right.
You'll be fine, ma'am.
Is there anything I can do for you, Robbie?
No, no. Thanks.
Well, I'll stop in again this afternoon.
I am not so sure your husband would approve, Mrs. St. Cloud.
Robbie, if you won't or can't come to visit me, I'll come to visit you. Good day, Captain.
Ma'am? It seems you do have friends, Lieutenant.
You, Maud.
Well,
Lee. Was I wrong?
About what?
Antelope Meadows.
I don't know.
It tortures me, Lee.
You did what you thought was right. Now, right or wrong, you better forget it.
How could a man forget a thing like that?
I don't know, Robbie.
Just a small detachment to patrol the line. We've had no further reports, but I want to keep watch. What about Seibert's and eight men, Lee?
Why not Wendt?
What's the matter? Want to get him away from the post?
No, it's not that. It might be what he needs.
I'm not sure I trust him with a patrol. You think you fooled me with that relieved of duty because of illness? He's just about drunk the sutlers dry.
He's getting better lately.
That's not what I hear. Maybe he's not drinking quite so much, but...
But what?
I've heard reports about him and Mrs. St. Cloud. They've been seeing each other entirely too much. She's been seen going into his quarters.
She tended him when he was ill.
And he's been at her rooms when St. Cloud was away.
They're old friends.
Maybe. But I always did think that woman was too pretty.
Major, I don't think there's anything wrong. But if there is, all the more reason to send Wendt out in that patrol.
You trust him?
He's a good officer. I'll send Gorse with him.
All right, Lee. I just hope you're right. Send Wendt to me for orders.
Right away, sir.
Captain! Captain.
What's the matter, Sergeant?
Over at Old Bedlam. There's going to be trouble.
What trouble?
The two lieutenants. St. Cloud's gone looking for Wendt.
Thanks. St. Cloud?
I heard what's been going on behind my back. It's all over the post. He can't get by fooling around with my wife.
That's enough. That's a court-martial offense you're charging. You want to make it official?
Subject
your wife to the embarrassment of it?
No.
All right.
No.
Wendt, do you want to prefer charges against him?
No.
Then the two of you remember your officers in the U.S. Cavalry and act accordingly.
He better stay away from my wife.
You won't have to worry about that for a while. He's going out on patrol tonight. Now, get out of here, St. Cloud.
Lee.
I don't want to hear about it. It's none of my business.
But, Lee, there's no...
You got a job to do. As soon as you clean up, report to the major for your orders.
All right, Captain.
Yes?
Captain, I heard you...
No harm done, Miss St. Cloud. Except to the dignity of a couple of officers.
It's my fault. I should have known Philip wouldn't understand. But I want you to understand, Captain.
Why me?
Because you're his friend, too.
All right.
I was only trying to help him. We're old friends, yes, but once it was more than that. Once, before I met Philip, it was going to be Robbie. I couldn't just stand by and see this happening to him.
I see.
Did I do wrong, Captain?
Who's to say that, Miss St. Cloud? I don't know.
I wish I were wiser.
So do I, ma'am. So do I.
Lee, this report just came in from the telegraph at Cheyenne.
Trouble, Major?
A Sioux raiding party attacked the railroad. If they're not still in the vicinity, they'll be heading north. Wentz moving to intercept
Wentz?
Them. He stopped at Pine Bluff and got the news. But he'll need reinforcements. Might be a big party, we don't know. Besides, with Wentz in charge...
I can have B Company ready in an hour.
Oh, will that be enough? B's undermanned. You've only got 63 men.
It'll be enough.
All right. Rendezvous with Wentz at the Forks on Little Bear Creek. And Lee, don't take any chances. Carry 200 rounds per man. This could be a fight.
Captain, single rider approaching.
Yeah, I see him. Looks like Doris. Keep him going, Mr. Syberts. I'll swing out and meet him.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant?
Captain, Lieutenant Wentz sent me to intercept you. He's moving towards Horse Creek. He wants you to cut across and meet him.
All right, good.
Sure glad you're here, Captain.
Why?
Well, we had them cornered last night, but they got away. We could have taken them.
How many?
Around 30.
9 men against 30?
We could have surprised them. Men are kind of talking some.
What are you trying to tell me, Gorse?
The lieutenant wouldn't attack. Or couldn't.
Had he been drinking?
Yes, sir.
Was he drunk, Sergeant?
Well, no, sir. I couldn't say that.
Then think about this, Sergeant. You men might not be alive today if he had attacked.
Yes, sir. I've heard that before.
It's still true, Sergeant. All right, let's join him.
Signal, Captain.
Here comes the lieutenant to meet us.
Company!
Company!
Halt! Lieutenant?
They're down in the valley about a mile ahead, Captain. You can surround them by splitting your force in three.
Good. All right, Syberts, you take 20 men and the right flank.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Gorse, you'll take 12 more men and join with Lieutenant Wentz's patrol on the left flank.
Yes, sir.
The rest will stay with me in the center.
I'd like the center, Captain, if I may.
Why?
It's closer. It'll lead the attack. And I found them.
All right. I'll take the left. Sergeant Jenkins, take over. I'll join you in a minute. Now, move out.
Right, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good work, Lieutenant. And you used good judgment. Not attacking last night.
Did I? Here, Captain, have a drink.
Yeah, thanks.
Why'd you do that?
You don't need it. You've gotten your courage out of a bottle for so long, you think you have to have it.
Don't I?
No, you don't, Robbie. All right, Lieutenant Went. Move out.
Doesn't look like we'll get much fighting, sir.
No, Jenkins, we're pretty far away, but we'll block this end of the valley for them.
Yes, sir. There they go, sir.
All right. Company!
Company!
At the trot!
At the trot!
Go! Charge! Davits!
We got them rounded up, Captain. Wasn't much of a fight. When they saw us coming in from three sides, they just dropped everything and ran.
Good. Any casualties?
No, sir, I don't think so. Not a one.
Captain!
Huh?
Over here.
Casualties, sir. Lieutenant Wint.
Robbie?
Lee. I'm sorry you smashed that bottle now.
Gorse.
Holder's bringing the first aid, sir.
No. No use, Lee. No use, you know that.
Robbie. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So am I. About a lot of things. Maud St. Cloud. A lot of things. But Lee, there's one thing I'm not sorry about.
Antelope Meadows?
Yeah. I was right, Lee. I couldn't have saved Bartlett. But I could save my 100 men, and I didn't.
That's right.
Oh, only one thing nobody understands. It wasn't my own life I was thinking about.
I understand that, Robbie.
Do you, Lee? Thanks. I wish...
Captain.
What is it, Sergeant?
I saw it, sir. He deliberately cut in front of Holder and took the only bullet the engines fired. He saved Holder's life. I guess I was wrong, sir.
Were you, Sergeant?
Yes, sir. He was no coward.
No. No, he wasn't. Come in. Oh. Miss St. Cloud.
Captain? I've just been over to see you. I won't be attending the services.
I understand.
Captain?
Yes?
Captain, did he say anything about me?
Yes, he did, Miss St. Cloud. He said he was sorry.
Not half as sorry as I am, Captain. I wanted to help him. But I was afraid to say the one thing that might have helped him most.
Sometimes it's kind of hard to...
I wanted to tell him that he was the only man I ever really loved. But I was afraid of the consequences. I should have told him, Captain. I should have told him a long time ago. Well, Philip will be wondering where I am. Good day, Captain.
Good day, Miss St. Cloud.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by John Dunkel, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were John Daner, Jack Moyles, Harry Bartell, Lynn Allen, Paul Duboff, and Clayton Post. Ha ha ha!
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. That makes headlines knows no time or place. News can be made next door or halfway around the world, at noon, at midnight, or in this next minute. To keep you fully informed, CBS News has reporters on 24-hour duty all around the world. By the magic of radio, their reports come to the CBS newsroom to be transmitted to you. Right now, every Saturday and Sunday, CBS News reports to you almost every hour during the day and evening. By keeping your dial set at CBS Radio, you know the news from halfway around the world as soon as you get the news from next door.
Gunsmoke, brought to you by Chesterfield. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed, thanks to Accuray. They satisfy the most. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Ahead, Mr. Dillon. He said to tell you he'd meet you there.
From what you say, there isn't much use for either one of us, Chester.
No, sir. Poor old Mr. Sawyer. He looked long dead to me.
Right in his office, huh?
Yes, sir. That's where the boy found him. Looked like he pulled a chair into the middle of the room and stood on it. Hanging sure is a bad way to die, ain't it?
I guess when a man wants to kill himself, it doesn't matter much how he does it.
No, sir.
How come there's no crowd outside?
Well, I told the boy to go on home and not to talk to anybody.
Oh, good.
And then I went in, cut Mr. Sawyer down, and come looking for you and Doc.
Uh-huh. The door wasn't locked, huh?
No, sir.
Hello, Matt.
And I guess you're too late this time, Doc.
Yeah, it's an hour anyway. I don't understand it, Matt. Sawyer was doing fine in his hide business. He didn't have any problems at all that I know of.
Maybe it was his wife dying, Doc.
Oh, no. That was a year ago, Chester. He'd got used to that.
Maybe he hadn't. Maybe he was just saving it all up for this.
Well, We'll never know now.
Chester.
Yes, sir?
When you found him, was that chair where it is now?
Yes, sir. It ain't been moved, Mr. Dillon. He stood on it and then kicked it over. Just like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bad way to die.
I sure wouldn't ever try it, Doc.
Well, I hope not, Chester.
No, well, what I mean is, supposing you kicked the chair out from under you and then changed your mind. Oh, wouldn't that be fearsome?
Probably happens to a lot of suicides, Chester.
Doc.
Yes, Matt.
Are there any bruises on him?
Well, I don't know, Matt. I haven't looked. Let me see. Of course, hanging doesn't bruise, but... wait a minute. See, there is a lump here. On the back of his head. Now, how do you get that?
Sawyer always kept a tin box over in that cabinet, Doc.
What's that got to do with this lump on his head?
He kept his ready cash in that box. It's not there now.
You mean somebody stole it? Now, who'd do that?
Whoever walked in here hit him in the head and hoisted him up on that rope. I knew old Sawyer pretty well. He wasn't the kind of a man who'd kill himself.
By heaven, I think you're right, Matt.
He didn't have any enemies. Whoever did this is going to be mighty hard to find.
That was an awful little bunch of mourners at the burying today, wasn't it, Mr. Dillon?
Well, I guess people kind of shy away from suicides, Chester.
Poor old man, Sawyer. Seems pretty mean letting everybody go on believing he went and hung himself.
He won't mind, Chester. But if the man who killed him thinks he got by with it, he just might get careless.
Yes, sir, he might. Hey, who's that Miss Kitty's walking with?
I don't know.
She's right pretty, for Dodge.
Yeah. But, Chester, I wouldn't put it exactly that way to her if I were you.
Oh, well, I didn't mean nothing by it. I was...
Hello, Matt. Chester.
Hello, Miss Kitty.
How are you, Kitty?
Cora, I'd like you to meet Marshall Dillon and Chester Proudfoot. This is Cora Bell. How do you do?
Hello.
If either of you ever come around to the Long Branch, you'd have met Cora a week ago.
Well, we've been pretty busy, Kitty.
Oh, sure.
I hope I'll see you over there soon, Marshall. And you too, Chester.
Oh, I'll be there, Miss Cora. Even tonight, maybe.
Good.
My.
Kitty, I promised Mel I'd meet him at Delmonico's. I'd better hurry along.
I'll see you tonight.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Matt, my. You know who this Mel is she's meeting?
No. Huh?
Mel Tucker.
Mel Tucker? That no good slack jawed water.
They're in love, Chester.
Love, my friend.
Wild in love. Oh. Ever since they met a week ago.
I just can't believe it. About her, I mean.
Yeah, sometimes there's no accounting for women, Chester.
Heard Mel Tucker used to be something of a man, Matt.
He still carries a gun.
Well, that's not exactly what I meant.
Oh, I guess he was all right before the whiskey took it out of him.
One thing, he's crazy jealous. About the worst I've ever seen.
Oh, he ought to be. She got a look at a good man, she might come to her senses.
How'd they get started, Kitty?
Oh, Mel Tucker was over in Newton. When he got on the Santa Fe for Dodge, Cora was on it, too. They're even talking of getting married, Matt.
Do you think they will?
As soon as Tucker gets hold of some money, they will.
And it won't be very soon. That man's been broke for 3 years.
I don't know, Chester. A man like Tucker might do anything for money.
Mr. Dillon, you ain't thinking...
We'll wait and see, Chester. It's all we can do.
You've heard Bobby Haggard whistling it on radio and television. Right now, a country-style version. Okay, partners?
Packs more pleasure. Packs more pleasure. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
The more perfectly packed your cigarette, the more taste and mildness are released for you. Chesterfield, made by exclusive Accuray, as an open, easy draw that unlocks all the pleasure of fine tobaccos. Now, Accuray ensures an even distribution of tobacco from one end of your Chesterfield to the other. Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips, mild, yet deeply satisfying.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. By Chesterfield, mild, yet they satisfy the most.
Hey, look. Now, there's something I've been looking for, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, what?
Over here in the store window.
Huh?
Look, Mr. Jonas finally got them in, see?
Oh, you mean those paper collars and cuffs?
No, them boot jacks.
Oh. That's pretty fancy.
Yeah, they're metal, Mr. Dillon.
And they cost $3. You could make one of your own with 10 cents worth of wood.
Yeah, but these is iron. They'll last forever.
Chester, wait a minute. Look inside there.
Hmm?
Right at the counter there.
What? Why, it's Mel Tucker. And look at that pile of stuff he's bought.
Yeah. And look at the cash he's paying for it with.
Mr. Dillon, you really think he did it?
I'm going to try to find out.
How?
No, he's coming out now.
Yeah, I guess he's going to pick up his stuff later. He'll need a wagon.
Oh, Tucker.
Oh. Hello, Marshal.
I notice you're buying a lot of new clothes. You getting married?
Yeah, I sure am, Marshal. Right soon. Going after Cora now, buy her some stuff.
Well, that's fine. I didn't know you were working.
Well, I'm not. Not here in Dodge.
Uh-huh.
I made me some money over in Newton, Marshal.
You did,
huh? Yeah.
How?
Well, I don't see as it's anybody's business, huh, Marshal?
You will after you've been in jail a while.
Jail? What are you talking about?
Old man Sawyer was murdered, Tucker, and I happen to know that you did it.
You out of your head?
I got all the proof I need.
You're a liar.
The judge won't think so.
Well, you can't arrest me, Marshal. It ain't right.
Might go easier on you if you'd admit it, Tucker.
I ought to kill you.
You couldn't, and you know it. Now start walking. You know where the jail is.
Hi, Matt.
Oh, come on in, Doc.
I'm just killing a little time, Matt, so if you're busy...
No, sit down. There's nothing going on here.
Oh, well, thank you, Matt. Where's Chester?
He's probably over working on Mr. Jonas again.
Jonas? Well, what for?
Yeah, that metal bootjack. Chester won't pay more than a dollar, and Jonas is holding out for $2.50. It's been going on like that for a week.
Ever since you threw Mel Tucker in jail, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
He is showing any signs of weakening, Matt?
He won't admit a thing, Doc. Hmm?
Cora been to see him?
Mm-hmm, every day. But that's beginning to work on Tucker.
What is?
Well, being in jail, he can't ride herd on her the way he's been doing. Kitty was right. He's a mighty jealous man.
You still think he did it, Matt?
Yeah, I do. It looks like I'm going to have a hard time proving it.
You sure?
Hey, Mr. Dillon, have you spoken?
Hello, Doc. Just in. Don't see any bootjack, Chester.
Never mind that. You better get on over to Bob Randall's freight office.
Huh? What for?
Autopsy, I guess. He's dead, Doc.
What happened, Chester?
Well, sir, I was walking by his office, and his wife went out and said she dropped by to see him and found him hanging there.
Hanging?
Just like old man Sawyer. Exact same thing. I went in and cut him down. This time I took a look around. He'd been hit on the head all right, and somebody tried to open his safe. They didn't get nothing, but they'd sure been working on him.
Well, Matt...
Wait here a minute, Doc. I'll go over with you.
Marshal, when are you going to give up and leave me out of here?
You're out, Tucker.
Mean it?
Yeah, I made a mistake about you.
I've been telling you that. What finally changed your mind?
What do you care? You're free. Now get going. Get married, do anything you want.
I sure will. Just tell you one thing, Marshal.
What?
I ain't gonna forget what you done to me. I'm already thinking up how to pay you back someday.
I said get out of here, Tucker. You busy, Kitty?
No. Sit down, man. What's on your mind?
Oh, plenty.
You didn't enjoy having to turn Mel Tucker loose yesterday, did you?
Yeah, there wasn't anything else I could do, Kitty.
You've made mistakes before, Matt. You don't usually take it so hard.
Kitty, Mel Tucker's perfectly capable of having killed old man Sawyer.
But he sure didn't do it.
Sometimes I gotta do my hunting like a lion in a tree. Just lie still and wait.
And you don't like that, do you?
I've done enough of it, Kitty.
I know. Well, I'll say one thing about Mel Tucker, Matt. A week in jail sure made a change in him.
Oh, what do you mean?
He's been meek as a lamb since he got out.
About what?
About Cora. Look at them, all three of them standing at the bar over there. Real friendly-like.
Who's that other man?
Oh, that's Dan Dressler. He and Cora have been together a lot lately.
Oh? Well, where'd he come from?
I don't know. He rode into town a day or so after you threw Tucker in jail.
Maybe Tucker doesn't know about Cora and him, huh?
They're just friends. They act like a big, happy family, Matt.
I see. Tucker and Cora still planning on getting married?
Well, not for a while. Cora says they're broke.
Broke? With $300?
Who's got $300?
Mel Tucker. It's what he had when I jailed him. It's what I returned to him yesterday.
Well, that doesn't make sense, does it?
Maybe it does, Kitty. Look, will you do something for me?
What?
It won't be easy, and it'll make you look pretty bad.
Then it must be important, or you wouldn't ask me to do it.
It is, Kitty. You see that table over there in the corner, just inside the hallway?
Yes, sure.
I want you to get Cora and Tucker and this Dressler over there. Offer to buy him a drink or something, huh?
And then what?
Let's go out back before they happen to see us. I'll tell you there.
Where are you listening to Gunsmoke? In your kitchen? Getting ready for Sunday supper? Maybe in your living room, relaxing? Or out for a pleasant drive? Say, how's the scenery out your way? This is the first weekend of spring, you know. Of course, you'll enjoy all of spring's pleasure more with Chesterfield. You see, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. A more perfectly packed cigarette gives you an open, easy draw that unlocks all the better taste and mildness of fine tobaccos. And Chesterfield, made by exclusive Accuray, is more perfectly packed, with an even distribution of tobacco from one end of your Chesterfield to the other. Firm and pleasing to the lips, mild, yet deeply satisfying. Remember, to the touch, to the taste.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
By Chesterfield. Mild, yet they satisfy the most.
Now be quiet with this door, Chester.
Yes, sir, I will.
That's good. All right, now follow me.
Good thing this hallway ain't creepy.
Now, this is far enough.
They at the table yet?
Yeah, I think so.
I sure do hope this notion works, Mr. Dillon, and I hope Miss Kitty don't get hurt out of it.
Well, I'll try to stop anything like that, Chester. Look, I'm going to get closer. You wait and then follow me, huh?
Yes, sir.
Appreciate your buying us all a drink, Kitty, but I don't know why you're doing it.
Kitty's a nice girl, man. Not enough reason?
Yeah, I guess so.
Most people I know don't do nothing for you without wanting something out of it.
No, Dad.
Guess that's right, Carl.
What?
I'm not a nice girl. There's something I want.
There, you see? I told you.
What do you want, Kitty?
I want Mel Tucker to know about you and Dan Dressler.
To know about me and Dan...
I don't like to watch a man being made a fool of, the way you're doing to Tucker.
What are you talking about?
No, no. Just you better explain yourself, Kitty.
I will, Tucker. You think Dan Dressler's a friend, don't you?
Well, go on, keep talking.
Well, he's a friend, all right. But Cora's friend, not yours. They were out together every night. You were in jail, and every day, too.
That's a lie.
Shut up, leave her talk, Dressler.
Everybody in Dodge knows what they've been doing except you. I guess I'm the only person who's not afraid to tell you. You think she's in love with you?
Kitty!
Get up, Dressler.
Oh, wait a minute, Tucker. You ain't gonna listen to that fool.
You're gonna get up, or I'm gonna shoot you right there.
No! Mel, it's a trick.
You shut up!
You better stop it, Mr. Dillon.
I can't, Chester, not yet.
All right, Dressler. I paid you to hang Bob Randall. I didn't pay you to make love to my girl.
All right, that's it.
Get up now, fool Tucker.
That's enough, Tucker!
He was gonna shoot Cora, Matt.
Chester.
Yes, sir.
Get Tucker's gun.
Yes, sir, I will. Dressler dead, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah.
You sure walloped Tucker a good one?
No, it was going to kill me. The marshal hadn't hit him, he'd have killed me.
I'm sorry I had to do it, Cora.
No, he was going to kill me. He shouldn't have been jealous of me. He shouldn't have been jealous of me.
Cora, you hired Dan Dressler to hang Randall, didn't you?
Yes, but Mel made me do it.
But you're an accomplice.
I only did what Mel told me. It wasn't my idea. I didn't murder the man. I loved Mel. I had to do it. I loved him. I loved him.
Well, it's just too bad you loved him, Cora. Because now you're as guilty as he is. Come on.
A moment, our star, William Conrad.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
Chesterfield, made by Exclusive Accuray, packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. Unlocks all the pleasure of fine tobacco.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
Firm and pleasing to the lips, Chesterfield, mild. Yet they satisfy the most.
You know, on the frontier, a newcomer could almost always find some land and a little water to build himself a ranch. But next week, trouble comes to Dodge when two men claim title to the same area. And that was the West. Good night.
Gunsmoke. Produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, Virginia Gregg, and John Daner. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Smokers, this is it. L&M filters. So good to your taste, so quick on the draw.
Make today your big red letter day, your L&M red letter day. Superior taste and filter, it's the miracle tip. Make today your big red letter day, change to L&M today.
L&M, so good to your taste.
So quick on the draw.
Get L&M today.
Relax with L&M, so good to your taste, so quick on the draw.
Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.